This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio. In Western Canada, Shaw Cable subscribers can locate us on channel 889 and using MTS, channel 704 in Manitoba. Visit AMI.ca/schedules for a list of channel locations in your area. Welcome back to the program. Kelly McDonald with Ramya Muthan.
It's Friday, so let's get an app update with our friend John Beeler of The App Show.
This is The App Show, unlocking software secrets for smartphones, tablets, TVs, and more.
John, have you heard of this? What is it called again? Hogweed, Kels?
Yes, hogweed.
Okay, hogweed.
They're concerned in the Toronto area, John. It's new there.
I have not heard of it.
Okay, well, we encourage you to go Google it, not go find one in real life, though, because Jeff Ryman spent the last few minutes scaring us about what it is and what it does to us, including blisters for 10 years if you accidentally touch the sap.
And blindness.
Yeah, potential blindness.
Like, we don't have enough problems right now.
I know. I mean,
like bears during camping.
Or out your way, those darn hornets. Is it the hornets? What do they call them? The killer hornets or whatever they're called?
Ooh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Great. I know, fun place to start,
staying
right?
Out of there, man. What do we do, guys? What, I'm here to talk about other things, not that stuff.
Yeah, sorry. Okay, okay, fine. We'll change gears. Let's talk about Apple. So they are retiring iCloud documents and data sync services by May 2022. Why is this happening?
Well, I have to say, when I first saw this announcement come out, I was like, wait, they're retiring iCloud in May? Like, what's going on? But as you said, it's iCloud documents and the data sync service. This is something that you would have installed or turned on if you had like an older older Mac or an older iPhone, for example. It's basically their version of iCloud Drive previously to them sort of combining it all into one thing. So all this means for the average person, though, is probably pretty much nothing, basically, because they're going to migrate you over automatically once they discontinue this new service. And you'll be able to, you know, the next update you do to your devices should change the names of all those things and change the placements and all that. It should all sort of be fairly seamless, but it is a little concerning, especially if you just read the first few words of the announcement. So, there's a couple different ways to sort of go in and sort of ensure that you're, you know, using the sync stuff properly. But if you're already aware of iCloud sync on your device, just go into the settings and turn on iCloud Drive, depending on which device you're actually using. But for the most part, it sounds like Apple's going to try to make this as seamless as possible. So this is a very early heads up warning that this is coming.
Yeah. And overall, in the bigger picture, I think it is nice of them to not have, I guess, pushed people off the older services when they had the new approach to iCloud Drive and all that kind of stuff. For people with the newer devices or who are just new to the Apple ecosystem, they might not have even experienced this side of things, right? The iCloud documents and sync. It's kind of cool because if you were using it all this time, that's nice. You have a whole year to go to the new version of it.
Yeah, and it sounds like it'll be a fairly seamless process no matter what version you're on. And it sounds like Apple's going to sort of fix anything on the older versions even to make sure that you're not going to lose any data or anything like that. Mm-hmm. It'll still be in the cloud.
Well, they say change can be good, so let's hope that everything's smooth enough, and let's continue to talk a little bit about change. You've only got a few more weeks to upload unlimited pictures to Google Photos for free. Are they moving to a subscription-based service with this?
Yeah, what they've done is starting June 1st, you're going to have a new cap. Previously, Google Photos was unlimited, and especially if you had like a Pixel phone, for example, you were able to upload unlimited photos to your Google Photos account, and you never had to worry about it. And it was always sort of the high quality photos, but they are still compressed down to basically 16 megapixels. But on June 1st, they're changing that, and they're basically going to be capping you to a 15 gig limit. Before you have to pay for more storage. Now, that sounds a little scary, and we've gotten a lot of feedback from people that are horrified by this process, and they want to jump ship somewhere else. I'm like, yeah, but honestly, this is probably the best place to be. And it's probably one of the cheapest things you can do. If you have a lot of photos, like more than 15 gigs, there's two things you can do. One, start uploading them now if you haven't, because this kicks in on June 1st. So whatever's there before then, so you upload a terabyte of photos, you'll have a terabyte of photos in there. But on June 1st, what you need to do is, if you want to have full access to everything at the full resolution, just buy some more storage. I have 100 gigabytes of storage that I pay for on one of my Google accounts, and it's like $27 a year, you know, so it's pretty affordable. And it's so easy to get at those photos from your devices as well. So any other service you're going to go to, unless you're switching to, say, Apple's iCloud or use Amazon Photos if you're a Prime subscriber, those are also good options. But they may not be compatible if you're an Android person. You want to stay in the Google ecosystem, for example. I think, you know, it's basically just so that they can sort of get a handle on all this stuff.
Yeah. Because I would imagine it gets pretty outlandish, like with people, so many of us say, well, I think I want to keep that, or I want to, you know, whatever it is, video or whatever, and it's just, people have no idea how much it sucks up.
Mm. Yeah, well, it's kind of horrifying. I'm a photographer, you know, and I have terabytes and terabytes of stuff in the cloud, and it would really be awful if I had to like move them off of Google Photos and put them somewhere else. So then the nice thing is that whatever's there now up until June 1st gets to stay there as is. So basically you get a fresh start on June 1st with an empty 15 gig bucket. So that's a lot of photos too, keep in mind, right?
Yeah.
So
do you find that Google Photos is kind of the place to do it, John? I mean, other than, because we know for other documents and just general online storage, cloud storage, there's all these options, as you pointed out, right? But for photos particularly, do you find, because I just let my iCloud sync my photos, but is there a reason why people move to Google Photos particularly?
One is redundancy. So I use both. Actually, I use Amazon as well, because, I mean, they're all technically free or very low cost on an annual basis. And it's always good to have that redundancy, right? So I have my my iCloud, my iPhone is my primary camera, but it sends those photos to Google and it sends them to iCloud, and I also get them backed up to Amazon. I think it depends on your user experience. Some people really love the ability to go into Google Photos and just start typing whatever they're looking for, because Google seems to be really good at that keyword matching with a photo, you know, with all their AI stuff that we always talk about.
The intuitiveness.
So it's really easy to find those photos, because that's the problem. If you've got tens of thousands of photos in the cloud, are you going to sit there for like days tagging everything? No, you're going to let the AI do it for you. And I think Google is probably one of the better ones at that. I think Apple's pretty close, and Amazon doesn't really have any functionality that, as far as I can see, but I haven't really looked into it too much. So that it might be there. I just might not have turned it on. I find that the Google interaction is really nice, because I have like other devices in my house, like a Fire TV, and I can pull from my favorite Google Photos as a screensaver, those kinds of things like that. So there's lots of little benefits to having it all in one place. And, you know, Google's not going anywhere. So this is a lot safer and a better bet than some new random startup that's trying to do backups for photos and stuff like that. So, because I've been burned in the past where I've had my photos backed up to a service. I've been, you know, I thought I had a lifetime plan. Well, lifetime of the company, not me. So, and then the company folded or changed their business model, and I had to have plan B basically then.
Yeah. Well, then I guess going back to the redundancy, good idea. So next up is the Clubhouse app, and we're not talking really what's going on with it other than that it's joined Android with the new beta. So I was hearing about this. I actually wondered if it was a rumor or not. It's true. So how's it going so far?
Yeah, literally yesterday, I think, it became available. You could basically pre-register or pre-download the app a couple days ago, but they just enabled it for Canadians now on Android. They're still calling it a beta on the Play Store, but this allows you to install Clubhouse. You still need an invitation to Clubhouse to participate. And for those that don't recall, because we've talked about this before, it's an audio chat app. It's kind of like a TED Talk, kind of like a live podcast, It basically, you can follow people, and there's a lot of interesting celebrity people or, you know, leaders in their space having talks and chats, and you can listen in, or in some cases you can actually participate just with audio, which is kind of cool. But it's a very interesting platform that's still sort of finding its legs, and they're trying to figure out their business model and if they're going to charge for it or not, that type of thing. But right now it's free as far as I can tell. And now, after being an iOS exclusive for the last year, I think, it's now available on Android as well in Canada.
So are they doing it the same way that iOS did, where we had to get invites, or can anybody go in? Because you talked about pre-registering, right?
Yeah, that's just to download the software. To actually to run it or to create an account, you need to have an invite. Fortunately, those are pretty easy to get. Just ask your iPhone friend to give you one, people on Twitter and Facebook, they'll just post like, "Anyone got a Clubhouse invite?" And you'll get 5 invites probably very quickly.
That's awesome.
Nice.
That's really good. That's handy, and that's the way to go. And they of course want people on there, and it sounds in some cases, especially going on listening, chatting, if that's what you want to do, but listening to some of the great conversations or talks people give, that's always really cool with what you can learn. So really cool for those.
It's interesting because I one of my favorite experiences on Clubhouse, I joined a chat because I thought it was about 3D printing, because some of my peers in the 3D printing space were there and they were chatting, but they weren't chatting about 3D printing. They were talking about the best pizza. So, you can have a very interesting conversation that has nothing to do with the topic that's on sort of the billboard, you know? So, again, that's part of the nice social aspect of this, especially when we're all, you know, locked down and stuck in our houses and stuff like that. It's nice to have conversations with people that aren't on camera or on Zoom, that type of thing.
Right on. Tiles Tracker will work with Amazon's Sidewalk Network starting June 14th. Remind us what this is.
So there's a couple things going on here. This is kind of a big deal, because when Apple came out with AirTags, they kind of stomped all over Tile's business model. And for those that don't recall, these are Bluetooth trackers. These are small little tags you can attach to your keychain, to your bag, your laptop case, whatever. And then your phone will show you where it is. And if it's out of your range, somebody else that has the Tile app running can basically be an anonymous searcher for that, and it'll ping you through their phone that, hey, it's over here, that type of thing. So what Tile has done, I think last summer they were in talks to do this, but I think the AirTags launch sort of sped up things, is they're partnering with Amazon, and Amazon has this interesting thing called Sidewalk. And this is basically a Bluetooth network that is part of all the Amazon Echo devices. So if you have an Echo Dot, an Echo Show, any of the, you know, smart assistant speakers, I won't say her name, and basically they all have a built-in Bluetooth Wi-Fi chip that essentially becomes almost like a mesh network for low energy IoT type devices, like a tracker, like a, you know, a temperature thermometer sensor thing, those kinds of things. And it's really meant so that if you're in a townhouse complex, you've got an Echo Dot on your windowsill, your neighbor has one on the windowsill. Essentially, this is an anonymous, super low energy, everyone's saying it's secure, network that devices can use to get a little bit of data out to and from the internet if they need to. So
supporting each other kind of thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, like little repeaters.
Exactly. But I don't have to opt into this
right
with my neighbor, or my neighbor doesn't have to approve it. If they've turned on that functionality on their device, it just happens and it's anonymous. It's just not sharing anything else other than maybe the location of the tracker, you know, which in theory, if you lost your keys in, say, your backyard in the grass, this might be closer to your neighbor's Echo Dot than to yours. And this will help tell the Tile app where it is. And this is also what Apple is doing with their AirTags, using a billion iPhones and iPads and any Apple devices in the same way.
Well, we'll keep posted on how safe it is, John. Thank you for all the updates. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Sounds great.
John Beeler of the App Show joining us for our app update.
Coming up next, BC has a new online tool that provides an accessibility map for people with disabilities. We learn more with Sylvie Fiquet in a moment.
You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.